Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam sugar.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear it.
Good morning, Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here in Super Talk, Mississippi. My name is Buddy, and we're going to do some really unusual stuff than we usually do between 10 and 12 on a Saturday morning. We always talk about taking care of your home and just making your place a better place, a more comfortable place to be. And we talk about all the aspects of it that we can. And any topic or any questions you have, hey, text them to us at 601-879-4395. That's our C-Spire text line. Or you're welcome to call this first segment. We're not going to have a guest, so we'll take your call. Be happy to do that at 888-808-8637. That's our Super Talk call-in line. And we're here because of the graciousness, the great thankfulness of Build Mississippi, great organization. And that's why we get to sit here, and we appreciate them a lot, Build Mississippi. Plus, a plethora of sponsors that have been here with us for years and years and years. But we're going to talk about all sorts of different things today, all sorts of neat things that'd be fun. I know we've talked a lot about grab bars and safety and whatnot, and I want to go a little further with that this morning and talk about mounting a grab bar on a fiberglass shower stall, which is really different than mounting a grab bar on a solid wall. And we're going to really get into a great deal and talk about what's necessary to do that and to do it so that your grab bar is secure. And everybody needs a grab bar in the shower. You may see, hey, I'm in my 20s, I'm in my 30s, I don't need a grab bar. Yeah, you need a grab bar. And the suction ones really are not safe. They seem to work fine, and they do seem to work fine until they won't. And that's that one time that's going to hurt you really badly because you're going to depend on it a great deal, and it'll fail. And also, mounting a grab bar on a fiberglass shower without a mounting kit, it doesn't get mounted properly. One, the fiberglass may crack and may break, and it's not certainly strong enough to receive all the weight that one day you may put on it. So, therefore, in order to mount a grab bar on a fiberglass shower stall, you need what's called a foam mounting kit. I'm sorry, foam. No, I don't know where foam came from. I made that up. You need a mounting kit. I was looking at something else. You need a mounting kit to do this with. And these mounting kits, they sell, some of them are like $10 and some of them are like $40. And basically, a good one is probably going to be about $20-some-odd. And it's a beautiful little situation that really works well with all the directions. It's important that you read all the directions on the mounting kit to begin with. That's very important. You get a mounting kit, and a mounting kit includes a couple of long screws, an actual filler piece made of PVC, which actually a screw goes through, but that PVC piece, which the screw actually goes through, you actually have to drill a hole in your fiberglass and put this PVC device in there and measure between the wall and the fiberglass with that and mark it. And once you mark that spacer, you'll actually cut it with just a hacksaw. It will work really, really fine in cutting that down to the proper size so that it is the same size between the inside wall of your fiberglass and the wall itself. That gives you some stability. And then you'll put in there there's mounting kits come with all sorts of screws and washers, and there's a cap that goes over that hole that you just cut that'll actually, and then your and a cap has a round little disc on it, and to that, really, you would mount then your grab bar. And it's important that you make sure, very important that you make sure that your grab bar is secured on studs. And the question is, how do you find studs? Well, first, most houses are built with studs 16 inch on center, which means that if you go from the edge of a corner wall and measure out approximately 16 inches, somewhere around there will be a stud. Now, they do make great stud finders, which can help you find a stud, and it's pretty easy to find behind a piece of sheetrock. A little more difficult to find with a fiberglass tub, a shower stall, and sheetrock, and then the stud. The stud finder may or may not work in that point. So what you do is you go up on top of where the fiberglass ends, and up top there, there's probably some sheetrock that's been painted or however it's been treated. And at that point, you'd find the stud. And once you find a stud, you center it. And how I do it particularly is, like, I'll find where the stud is, and I'll put like a real thin finish nail in that. And from that finish nail, I'll hang a plumb bob that goes straight down. Most studs now, we're going to assume that are straight. And that's not always true, but at least they follow a pretty good line of straight ahead. Pretty much by doing that, you can find out where your stud is, and it can help you a great deal. And then mounting that thing, it's really important that you follow the directions on the mounting kit in order to do it properly. And it should be said that a good mounting kit is almost as expensive as a good grab bar. And grab bars, yes, you can buy grab bars pretty inexpensively, and you can buy grab bars for a pretty good bit of money as well, in the $30s, $40s, $50 range. And they started, I think, at about $10 or $15, and those are the cheapos. But you can buy a good one for 20-some-odd bucks. You can probably buy a really good grab bar, depending on the length and how you're going to attach it. And that grab bar, the best way to mount it is to not straight ahead, like you'll see in a lot of commercial bathrooms, but mounted at an angle so that it does, not only on one end, but on the other end, hit the stud and hit it properly. And then you have a very secure grab bar. And you may say to yourself, I'm never going to use this thing. But I don't think that's true. I think there'll be a time in your life when all of a sudden you'll say, you know what? I need to get going on this grab bar and find out what's because they're important, and particularly important for elderly people, and they should always have grab bars. In other words, if your parents, go over to their house and check out their shower, is there a grab bar in there? If there's not, go through the process of finding how to mount one, how to buy one, and install it. And if you can't do that, hey, I can get you somebody that will. I know a lot of people that do that type of work, and they do everything from smaller jobs like mounting a grab bar to even a smaller job like changing light bulbs, because these people are so elderly they can't get up on any kind of stance like a ladder or a chair and change the light bulb. And it becomes a difficult situation for them, which they're better to have somebody come and take care of it at a very reasonable price. And there are people on my sponsor list that do just that. So we'll be happy to send somebody out there and take care of those situations. But grab bars in shower stalls, man, they're so important. They really do work. Don't use the mollies or the toggle bolts that come with a grab bar to mount it, because that is not going to secure it in a fiberglass shower. That may work pretty well for just a sheetrock wall, but again, it needs to go into studs. Even if you're going on a sheetrock wall, it just don't depend on the sheetrock itself. Let the screw that actually holds the grab bar in place actually has to hit a stud, and that will really secure it a great deal. And that works. It does work. All right. Handyman Show here at Super Talk Mississippi. Phone numbers are 888-808-8637 or City Spire. Text line is 601-879-4395, whatever you might have up your sleeve. We want to hear from you. And coming up in the next segment of this program is Nikki Morris is going to be with us from Pure Air Consultants, and we're going to talk a little bit about, yeah, that's right, your HVA system. HVA system is a pretty mechanical device with a lot of little moving parts, and it has to be kept in pretty good shape. And we'll talk about that, and we'll expand on that when Nikki gets on board, and we start talking to her about what's going on. So, well, I don't know what to say about the weather. Today is supposed to be like somewhere near the 80s, and as far as my phone will reach, the next day, early in the morning, supposed to be like in the 28s or so. Getting stupid cold outside. And I just don't get it. I just don't get it at all. Okay, well, we've got
us a caller on the line here, and it's Mr. Tim from Leakesville, and he has a question for you about a slab foundation that they're pouring and wanted your advice.
Well, let's, Mr. Tim, how are you today?
Good, and you?
Yeah, I'm really great. Let's hear what you got going on.
So, fixing to be a first-time home builder.
Yes, sir.
We're going to build a block house on a slab, and we're not sure on how high to build the slab above grade elevation.
That's a very, very good question. In my opinion, most slabs are not high enough off the elevation of the ground, and therefore, things like you'll have a problem with more insects than you would normally. The higher you make that slab go off of the level of the ground, the better off you're going to be. My slab sits about, I would say before the foundation starts, probably about 3 or 4 inches off the ground. And then the slab starts, and the brick ledge actually comes down below that. But because it is lifted up a little higher, I have never had an insect in my house. They can't get in. Somehow they don't come up there. And plus it keeps your weep holes from clogging up, getting a little higher. It makes the landscaping from coming in. So how high should it be? Yes, it should be higher. It should be as high as you can take it and still look right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's some really good information. Thank you. And What is your recommendation on who to get to help make those decisions to form it up?
Most concrete people are going to come in and pretty much it'll already be planned as to what they intend to do. So before that concrete people show up and start pouring a slab, somebody who's going to actually be in charge of installing the slab needs to understand that you want it to be higher than it normally would be, and then have a discussion with them about what that means and how high it should be. I'm not sure in each case how high it should be, but I know it should. I know that it's going to improve the quality of your house by making it just a little higher than what they usually are.
How to insulate to keep moisture. All right. Well, that's thank you for that. And One more question.
Sure, go ahead.
How do we insulate it to keep moisture out on the brick, the block foundation?
Yeah, the best thing to do, they make a product called SilSeal, which is 6 inches wide, and it goes around the sill of the foundation, and then the block sits on it. And it will make, it keeps moisture from going underneath your brick into your foundation. Now, if you don't use SilSeal, then you should use like a brutal rubber caulk. I didn't say that right. Butyl rubber caulk. But that rubber caulk will work in sealing your bricks to the foundation, and no moisture will come in at that point in time. And since you're building a block house, I really think you should look into ICFs, insulated concrete forms, which basically build a brick house, a cement house, but it's so much stronger than just concrete blocks. So It really would behoove you to do some research into ICFs. That's insulated concrete forms. And there are enough contractors in this area that know how to do that. And if you intend to do that, and if you get looking at it and like it and say, wow, this can really be, it's not going to cost you a whole lot more, and it's going to be a much safer house, a much easier to, much more energy efficient, and a better home altogether. And that's what I have to say about ICFs and blocks. So that will seal them at any rate. Seal.
Seal.
That's correct. It's about 6 inches wide. It's maybe about, it might be a half inch thick, might be 3/4 inch thick, and it just rolls out. It comes in 50-foot rolls, and it rolls out around your perimeter of your foundation, and whatever your studs or your blocks sit on top of it.
Hey, can you spell that out for me to make sure that I'm writing it down correctly?
Yes, sir, I can. I can. Here it comes. Ready? S-I-L-L, sill. Seal.
All right.
Seal is just regular. S-L-S-E-A-L, seal. Seal. And it's not as easy to find. It's not everybody carries it, but it's a good product. It really is.
Well, it's seal. So if S-I-L-L, then S-E-A-L-L?
S-I-L-L. Yes, that's correct. S-E-A-L-L.
All right.
I appreciate your call. Thank you very much, man. Thanks for taking the time and talking, calling us. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And, yeah, that's the kind of thing we talk about when people want to call up and find out what's going on.
I get surprised that we don't get more of that question, you know, about foundation and site prep and those things, because there are so many people that do build their own home. And yeah, they may contract things out, or they may do things they know. But that when I first learned building, that's what the contractor, the guy that owned the company, he loved the dirt work. He loved laying the pipes and doing the dirt work. He stayed on that tractor, on that bulldozer all the time. And that was what he's like, y'all do all that. I got this. But I love that was he loved it. And I guess if you're in that business, it's, you know, you make a lot of money.
You make a lot of money. But I really do think it really does improve your home make it just a little bit higher.
As high as you can go.
Man, there's so many reasons why. But hey, you're listening to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show here on Super Talk Mississippi at the Build Mississippi Studios. Coming up next, Nikki Morris with Pure Air Consultants. We're going to talk a little bit about your air conditioning and heating unit. Be right back.
While most people are settling into their cubicles and sifting through their inboxes, others are busy building the foundation of the future. One brick, pipe, and electrical line at a time. The construction industry in Mississippi needs over 100,000 skilled tradespeople now. If you're looking for an in-demand, well-paying career, visit buildmississippi.com to discover rewarding careers in the trades. Buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting. Let's build it.
You're listening to Super Talk Mississippi, where the news comes first.
With live updates from Super Talk Mississippi News and Fox News every hour.
Available on the Super Talk app and at supertalk.fm.
You believe this guy?
Who is this guy?
It's Gerard Gibbert. Weekdays, 10 till 1 on Super Talk Mississippi.
I like this guy.
Also on the Super Talk app and at supertalk.fm.
Hey, this is Bob.
What's different about us? I don't really know. No matter how I try, I just can't make a cry. What you trying to do now?
Heart of stone. Yeah, they can pull it. They can put it out there. We have to listen to it. And I like it. I like it a lot. All right, on the phone we've got Nikki Morris from Pure Air Consultants. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just full of myself. I'm just from here till 12 is great. A great time of the week for me always. You run a place called Pure Air Consultants, and you deal a lot in HVAC units. And I just thought it would take a second and explain what HVAC stands for. And it really is heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. That's what HVAC stands for.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah, I had to get that out because I say HVAC all the time, thinking that everybody probably understands it. And then I realized I might be missing something here. And I was. But at any rate, HVAC units have changed so very much over the years, and they're doing so much more today than what they ever did do. But they also are including, there are more mechanical parts and more moving pieces in a piece of in a HVAC unit than you can imagine. And they need to be kept up to date and maintained. That's probably, I mean, there's a lot of HVAC units out there that just are not performing to their ultimate proficiency due to lack of maintenance or just problems with the ducting system. But all that is correctable and can be made right. And then sometimes you may run into a unit that's older, too old to even work on. I want your take on what you think about all that.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. Maintenance is key. Right now, you know, there's so many changes, and we're learning something new every single day with the changes that, you know, are being placed in the HVAC world right now. But maintenance is definitely key. You want to maintain your system, and I know I've said this a million times, just like you change the oil in your car. You have to maintain your system in order for it to be working at peak efficiency. You know, preventative maintenance is the best thing. That way you can do exactly that. Prevent things from happening. If you have your maintenance, that is going to hopefully prevent a breakdown in peak seasons. Like, you know, I know it's hard to think of right now, but summer is just around the corner. maybe today it feels a little like springtime out there, but tomorrow you might be running your heat. You just never know. We are in Mississippi, right?
I've been back and forth with my heat and air for 2 months now. It's been like one day it gets 80, the next day it gets like in the 30s. How do you figure that stuff? I don't know.
No, it's crazy. But we do make thermostats for that. They're auto changeover. So you just set the temperature you like in your home, and it'll bring on the heat or the cooling, whatever it takes to keep your house at the temperature you like.
Yeah, and that's a good tool, by the way, a thermostat that actually will change from heating to cooling by itself if it's needed. And it is an upgrade kind of thermostat, but it really does help a unit a whole lot.
It does, and your comfort level, and that's what, you know, we love in our home is our comfort, and, you know, it'll help with your comfort level in your home. So, and changing those filters is super important. I know we talk about that every single time, too. So
we do.
Changing those filters is key.
Yeah, and so many people are really under the belief that the better the filter, the better the air quality in your home is going to be, and therefore they go out and buy a $35 filter that can do everything but drive your car. I think it's overkill.
It can be. You know, you really need a professional to look at your duct system to make sure that it is not going to, you know, restrict the airflow of your system, and
yes,
it could cause even more damage. So you definitely want to refer to a professional before you go out and you spend that much money on a filter. You know, let us come out, maintain your system, and we'll give you the right recommendation for your filter.
Yeah, and that's, it's important to know because, again, your system needs the proper amount of air returning to it. And also what I've found out over the years is we lived in a lot tighter house today than what we did years ago. But yeah. I've also learned that all moldings and casings around doors and windows all need to be sealed so that none of the air gets in there and seeps into your stud area and up into your attic. It's not good. It all needs to be sealed, and your house needs to be sealed. And then your air return needs to be sealed as well. Because
that is correct.
With you get so much dirt in your house with that not being sealed that all of a sudden you're losing efficiency on your HVAC unit.
You are, and that's definitely something we always look at when we come out for an inspection. You know, we look to see, is your return sealed like it's supposed to be?
Right.
The condenser's clean, or is your drain line clean? Is there dirt on your blower wheel where it's going to cause it to, you know, not work properly? We look at all of those things when we come out. Our technicians have a step-by-step checklist that they have to go off of whenever they come and do a heating inspection or a cooling inspection. We make sure that we go over those things. And, you know, we can also look at things. Not everybody wants to crawl in their attic. So while we're there, we can, you know, if we notice water in your pan of your water heater, we can let you know. Or if we notice that your power vents on your roof, your ventilation is not working, we can let you know. So there's so many things that benefit from having someone like us come out there, just because, not like I said, not everybody likes to get in their attic.
Yeah, they don't. And what you're saying is so important, and I think it's very important that when you do want to do some work on your HVAC unit, that you make sure you use a qualified company that's been in business for a number of years and knows exactly how to check everything in your unit, not just going. I've had air conditioning service or HVAC service at somebody else's house, and the serviceman went up in the attic and came down about 30 minutes later and said he was done and left. They paid the bill and left. And I said, what about your condenser unit outside? Anybody look at that? And they didn't. That was just part of it. So it's important that I think people deal with a reputable company, which Pure Air Consultants is definitely that.
Well, thank you. We have been in business for almost 21 years. We're locally owned and operated. So you don't stick around for that long without doing something right. So
yeah.
We do try to go in, and, you know, we tell our technicians all the time, you know, you treat the home, not the symptom, because, you know, yes, you go there and your air conditioner is failing, or, you know, you have some air conditioned issues, but your air conditioner may be working fine. But if that's the case, then look around and see what else may be causing the customer's home to be uncomfortable, and just make mention of those things. We may not be able to fix it for you.
Sure.
But we can certainly point you in the right direction on who to call next.
Yeah, to make your house more comfortable.
Yes, because a lot of times we go out because if a customer says they have a water leak, we go and we get there and the air conditioner is draining fine, but their plumbing stack may be stopped up, you know, and
right.
We may say, you know, we recommend calling a plumber. And, you know, I know that it's so hard to find good contractors, and, you know, everybody wants to, you know, use the best.
Sure.
I would love for everyone to come out on March 1st and 2nd to the Clyde News Center, because we're going to be part of the home show. The Home Builders Association of Jackson puts on a show every single year, and we are always there, and you can find lots and lots and lots of good contractors there. But you can actually talk to and get to know before you just have them come out to your home. You know, it's good to start a relationship with someone before they come out to your home, and you get to know them. You tell them what you need, and, you know, you may can find the right fit for you at the home show. So I hope everybody comes out to see us, and it's 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, the home show, I've been involved with it many, many years, and it's a great, great program. It's worth any individual that owns or rents or just lives in a shelter to go out there and learn about what they can do to improve their quality of life through that shelter. And that can be everything from HVAC to putting up a fence to actually actually remodeling anything at all. The home show was really a great place to be. Doors and windows were on display there, and it is a great show.
Everything you need for your home is there, and you, like I said, you actually get to meet the people and talk with them and make that connection.
Yeah,
I think it's a great place to meet folks. I know I've met some of my very favorite customers at the home show, and they've been with us for years and years, and it all started there because we met them face to face, had a conversation with them, and you know, then we're in their home and helping them, and they know who to call
right
when something goes wrong. I have people call me all the time, Nikki, my garage door's not working. Who do I need to call? You just build that relationship with folks.
Well, so that's a good thing, because what you said is so true, that a good contractor is a hard person to find these days to be insured that they are really a good contractor. But getting a reference from somebody that you know, like Nikki at Pure Air Consultants, and say, do you know anything about anybody who does this kind of work that can really, you know, or text me and I will be happy to share that information. But it's so important that people use quality contractors that will go in and do an entire 100% job, not 80, not 70, not 90, 100%.
Right, and you want somebody who's been in business a while. You want somebody who's trustworthy, and I usually only pass out referrals for people I've actually used.
Right.
I love relationships with people, and I love passing on good contractors because they're so hard to find these days.
Yeah, you can't say that enough. It's true. That's what Build Mississippi is all about, contractors and also in the commercial industry. But at any rate, we need more contractors that actually, like your techs, I mean, they make a pretty good living and can, you know, every day go to work and enjoy their work because they specialize in how to make an HVAC unit the most efficient that it can be in your home. And they're well-trained and they're well-paid and they're well-taken care of because your company does take care of their people properly, and that's so important.
Well, we believe in family, and you know, we love our guys, and we try to give them continuing education, you know, and new things are coming out. We try to keep everybody informed and educated on those. So, because our industry is ever-changing. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, if there's any industry that's been changing dramatically through the years, it's probably the industry that you're involved in has changed probably the most, I would say, between radiators and whatever, steam heat, and the thing that people used to use, or fireplaces and whatnot. But the HVAC unit can really do a good job. But I have a thought that of all the HVAC units that are out there, that I would dare say, I don't know what percentage, but not as big as I'd like to see, are 100% efficient. There's probably a lot that's just done not cutting it.
No, there's a lot out there. And, you know, people don't think about their heating and air conditioning because it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
You know, it's in a closet in your hallway or it's up in the attic. You don't think about it. Now, once spring comes around and you're cutting your grass, you see that outdoor unit and you're thinking, oh, I need to do something about that. But, you know, you don't think about it other than when you actually go outside to see it or when it breaks down. And when it breaks down, it's too late for your maintenance.
Yeah, it really is. It is.
Maintenance is just so super important.
Well, we talked a lot about care and maintenance and taking care of your HVAC unit, but people should know also you'll do complete installations of those units as well. Your company will.
Yes,
you won't.
New construction, replacement for commercial, residential. So we do it all. We actually do duct cleaning and dryer vent cleaning. We can do just about anything. You know, you name it. If you need help, you call us, and if we can't help you, we'll point you in the right direction for somebody who can.
Well, what number do we call, Nikki?
Call 601-939-7420. That's 601-939-7420. Or you can find us online at mypureairconsultants.com.
Man, that's good information. I appreciate you being with us this morning and sharing some of that. But I hope they've helped some of the people. Thank you, Nikki, very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to seeing you again.
All right. We'll be there for sure. It'll be the home show. All right. Coming up on Fox National News, some local news. And this is Buddy at Super Talk. Bill, Mississippi Studios. Be right back.
Hey, I'm Steve Azar, and you never know who or what you'll hear when I spend a Mississippi Minute with my friends.
Just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no hurry, that's how life goes.
Be sure to check out In a Mississippi Minute with me, Steve Azar, right here on Supertalk Mississippi, the Supertalk Mississippi app, and now available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
This is professional ballplayer and former Mississippi State Bulldog, Jake Mangum. Mississippi is my home. I've been all over the state and seen just about all there is to see. As a native, joining Farm Bureau was a no-brainer. They're there when I need them, with competitive rates and exceptional customer service. If you aren't already on the team, it's time to join Farm Bureau. Visit favrates.com for great rates on home and auto insurance, or find a local agent at msfbins.com. Farm Bureau Insurance. Go with the home team.
Down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you call me out, call me out.
Yeah.
That was about the end of the funniest version of Chevy Chase, I think. Like, that was, you know, he was at his apex, and
yeah.
Not that, you know, getting older, he got worse or anything. It was just that was that era.
That was the era.
Where he was doing the background, you know, walking around faking everything. That's in amazing. The video. Yeah, that was like, yeah, I love that.
That's amazing. It's a very good song.
You got like a 6'5" Chevy Chase and a 5'1" Paul Simon. Yeah, it's great.
Unreal, unreal. Well, all right.
Not enough good-hearted songs sometimes, like spirited and make you laugh and stuff. That's what I always loved about Weird Al Yankovic. I know he's not mainstream.
Right.
But, man, I love him because of the creativity. Makes you know
what? He's big time, though.
He's huge. He's not mainstream to most people.
Right.
I'm saying, but in the genre that he plays, he is amazing.
Yeah, he's
and he does such a good job. I mean, a guy that looks like that, too, you know, he just owns it. And he is himself, 100%.
He owns it for sure. Yeah, for sure.
He's happy.
Oh, well. All right. I want to talk a little bit about post-setting. We've talked about post-setting before.
Basketball? Like setting the post?
Oh, no. A basketball post, whether you're setting a post for a mailbox or whether you're setting some fence posts. But there's a couple of ways to do it. And, of course, most people today will dig their hole, probably 2-3 inches deep, and depending on the size of the pole that you're going to put in there. And then they will put the pole in there and fill it with concrete. And the concrete sets up and holds the pole in place pretty well. But there's a pretty good chore involved in doing that because you have to handle all the concrete and handle it and get it mixed and do all the prep work. They do make foam setting posts where a post can be put in a hole and foam is put around it. And that foam hardens and it really stabilizes the post. It makes it very, very strong, and it won't tip over. It's strong enough to hold basketball goals and mailboxes. Much easier to use than the cement system. Now, having said that, I should also mention that these post-setting foam is sold in kits, and most kits have enough to set one pole. Some kits have enough to set two poles. And yes, they're somewhat expensive. Compared to doing the concrete way, it is a little more expensive, but it's a whole lot better. Like if you're just doing one post, like a basketball goal, or perhaps a mailbox or something of that nature, then a post mounting a foam mounting kit is really the way to go. It's self-explanatory. You'll get a package. You'll read the directions on how to use it, where to use it, when to use it, and it works very, very well. And it's easier to set posts that way. So when you set a post, before you put, if you're using concrete, before you put concrete around it, or before you put anything around it, make sure that it's level and it's plumb before you do that. And sometimes it's even behooves you to take a 2x4 or a couple 2x4s and actually stabilize that post where it is plumb and level and straight up and down. You'll attach the 2x4 to the top of the post and run it to the ground, and then you'll run one on the other side. And that way you can get a perfect balance on that thing, like it should be going straight up and down. And then you would pour your post sealant in there. Now that sealant, that foam sealant, works really, really well. I've seen some people use it. I've not used it myself before, but I've seen it used, and I know that it works. It's got a really good reputation. You can get it anywhere, at any big box home center around has it. And, it's a good, as well as I talked earlier about a mounting kit for grab bars. Well, those are also available at most big box home centers, or you can get those things, I'm sure, at Revel Ace Hardware, one of my favorite store I go to anyway. Before I go anywhere looking for something, I'll end up at Revel Ace, because they seem to know what's going on. I don't seem to know. They know what's going on. But that's definitely a better way to set posts. And it'll give you a good, solid grab. It costs a little more, but it's worth doing for sure. Hey, let me take a minute to tell you about Atlas Foundation, one of the better foundation companies in the sound of my voice. Atlas Foundation Repair. That's what their name is they actually work on repairing your slab, saying your slab has a few years on it and it's begun to tilt and maybe sink a little bit in the ground. Well, Atlas Foundation can fix that. Tony Arpino has the ability to come to your place and, with very little equipment and very little time, actually secure your foundation the way it should be. You can call him at 800-256-1010. That's 800-256-1010. Atlas Foundation Repair. If you have a problem with your foundation, your doors are not closing correctly, or perhaps you can just feel the foundation sagging or going downhill in one particular area, he can fix all of that, and he wants to help you so very much. Give him a call, 800-256-1010, Atlas Foundation Repair, and we appreciate their sponsorship of this program. That's right, they do. Hey. I like to have them around. I really do. All right. I'll talk a little bit about the columns on the front of your home that hold up like your porch. Nowadays, they're using like either a composite column or a fiberglass column that work extremely well in doing just that. But in the past, they used to use like wooden posts or the angled metal decorative posts that actually hold the porch up. But neither of those seem to last as long as they should, whereas fiberglass is not going to decay and give you problems. Fiberglass is going to be there forever. So changing out your old posts and putting up new fiberglass posts isn't that big of a deal. And almost anybody can do it. Yeah, let's go ahead.
Quick point over in my dad's yesterday, as I was walking the dog up and down the street a little bit and just enjoying a nice day, looked over at a beautiful home that I watched get built many years ago. And the columns in the front of the home that hold up the porch, six of them, two of them are leaned over.
Ooh.
And there's two in a row. So you have the porch going up with a beautiful brick staircase.
Sure.
The two on the right side are kind of catty-cornered leaning. The other four are still right.
Right.
Now, my question would be, Tony Arpino is your man.
Right.
You call him.
Yeah.
He can come in there and level that out. Won't mess your yard up. But those are the types. It's about a 2.5, 3 foot by 3 foot brick column.
Right.
About 3 feet high.
Uh-huh.
And they're leaning over. You can see where they've sunk down, or either the pedestal or the poured concrete floor that they had put it on may have broken or deteriorated in 40 years or something. But is that the type of thing that is easy to have, say, Tony come in and fix, or do you have to pull that out and rebuild that bottom, or does that foam technology and the things that they do nowadays? I mean, Bulldog Construction, I know Trey does some of that. And
yeah, they do. So. I would suspect that it's a matter of how decayed is the area below it. Mm-hmm. And if the area, if everything is still intact, but yet it's still sinking, mm-hmm. then yes, Tony or Pina or all the people that can do this foam mm-hmm. lift it up can mm-hmm. actually improve it. The column, the posts are in good shape, you said?
The columns look great. Look beautiful.
All right, then yeah.
No cracks in the mortar or anything. They've just leaned about 3 inches, sunk down on one side where it's made it kind of lean, two of them.
Yeah, and that sinking is, you can actually see it in the slab. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's the kind of thing you want to call Tony Arpino, Atlas Foundation, get it taken care of. They can take care of all that and help a whole lot. All right, Super Talk Mississippi. Buddy Slowick at the Build Mississippi Studios. Coming up, a music segment. Before that, we're now going to do Fox National News and some local news as well. So you stick right here to Super Talk Mississippi. Buddy with you. Be back in just a few minutes.
When you listen to Super Talk Mississippi, you become part of a statewide community, a community of knowledgeable, engaged, enlightened, well-informed, hard-working men and women just like you, all eager to see the Magnolia State grow and prosper. There may be some disagreement on how to get there, but the goal remains the same: for each Mississippian to reach their American dream. Thanks for listening and being a part of the conversation on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi, the place you call home, is a state like no other.
From the music, to the food, and the people.
The Magnolia State has so many good things to celebrate. And now you can. Each weekday afternoon from 2 to 3 on Good Things with Rebecca Turner. Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour. Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and all the good things to do. Life doesn't always have to be serious, so let's have fun. Good Things with Rebecca Turner. Weekdays from 2 to 3 on Super Talk Mississippi.
Catfish.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam chowder.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear
Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy Slowick. On the other side of the glass, Lance is sitting over there. Hey, Lance, how are you today?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
Oh, man, couldn't be any better if I wanted to.
Exactly. Like you said, you're full of yourself. You got to do this kind of work.
Well,
you got to have confidence.
It's just like, it's like I've told you before, as soon as that red light's on, I'm on.
That's right.
It's like my switch. I don't know how that works, but I look forward
to it. It's like Pavlov's dog. Is conditioning, right?
It's conditioning.
40 years of doing it, light comes on, you're like, I'm ready.
I'm ready. Doesn't matter where I came from, what I did just before that, or what I'm going to do it later. During this 2 hours, I'm going to dedicate myself right here to this thing. All right, this is the music segment. We're going to talk a little bit about some different groups and aspects of them and whatnot, and certainly appreciate any opinion you may have, and text it to us on our text line, 601-879-4395. And we're going to start with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Why? Because they've been around forever, and they play nothing but straight rock and roll. There's no gimmick. There's no nothing. It's just rock and roll, and it's good rock and roll. Her first group, of course, was called the Runaways, and they were really pretty good until 1970, and they did pretty well. And then Joan Jett formed the Blackhearts, and she's been starred in a lot of or played in a lot of movies. I won't say starred, but played in a lot of movies, and has done some work in the movie industry as well. And her rock and roll just doesn't get old. It's just is as good today as it was the day it was put out, because it is straight ahead rock and there's no messing around. It's just rock and roll. So I thought we'd do a song called I Hate Myself for Loving You, which is a great song, by the way, and it really does show the licks that they use in Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Joan Jett, by the way, is from Philly, and let's give a listen to I Hate Myself for Loving You. I'm talking about, that's some powerful stuff. She recently did a tour with Boston about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I've forgotten now, but she was the warm-up group for Boston, and Tom Scholz of Boston, I think she has an agreement with either Keg, some lower-priced guitar manufacturer got involved with Joan Jett and decided to make her a special guitar, and they did. They made a very, very special, very nice guitar for her, and she uses it all the time. And Scholz liked it so much, he said, "You know what?" On his last show, he said, "Let me play your guitar for the whole show." And he did. He played Joan Jett's guitar for the whole show, and it sounded just like Boston, because that's how good of a guitar it was.
I don't see how they do that. I mean, as a pitcher, putting on somebody else's glove, just to put it on your left hand. You're not even using that. It's just the glove. And I'm not talking about a ball. It's just putting that other glove on your hand.
Right.
You're like, I can't pitch. I can't think. It's too uncomfortable. That's the way a guitar feels when you pick somebody else's up.
I've never seen Scholz with anything but a gold top Les Paul, and that's what he plays. But to see him playing Joan Jett's guitar was like, wow.
That's how good they are.
That's how good. And it was a good guitar, too. All right, moving ahead. going to work with a group called the Teskey Brothers. The Teskey Brothers started in 2008, and they were a four-piece group from Australia, by the way. And they had they were relatively successful over there and did a pretty good job. And then in 2022, they just became really established themselves more as a duo. It's two brothers. Josh Teskey is the vocals, and he plays rhythm guitar, and his brother Sam Teskey is the lead guitar player. And they have done they've won many awards and done many great things, and really worth listening to. Their whole entire collection of songs is just like, it's really, really good. So let's listen to the Teskey Brothers do a song called So Caught Up. And this is the Teskey Brothers. Teskey Brothers, man, when you listen to a couple of their albums, you begin to realize, hey, this is worth listening to, and it really is good, the Teskey Brothers. All right, the next group, I have a lot to talk about them. A group called Whitesnake. Everybody, I guess, has heard of Whitesnake. Whitesnake was formed by David Cloverdale. He left Deep Purple and he was with Deep Purple from 73 till 76, and he formed Whitesnake, and he has an amazing voice. I mean, he really has that pure voice. But his drummer is from Pearl, Tommy Aldridge, and it just seems to me that everybody I know except me knows Tommy Aldridge. And I was talking to my friend Johnny Walker, Crocker yesterday.
Johnny Walker. I like the...
No, Johnny Crocker. Crocker knows he's played with Aldridge before, and they were in a group called Mississippi Rain. And this is like 40, 45 years ago before Tommy started playing with some of the groups that he's played with. And he's played with Black Oak, Arkansas. That's where he started. And then, of course, he's played with Thin Lizzy and with Ozzy Osbourne and Ted Nugent. And then some of the other players in the group just blew you away, like Steve Vai. We've done a musical segment before on Steve Vai and how great of a guitar player he really, really is. And he's one of their guitar players. And John Sykes played guitar as well, and he passed away this year just recently. And there's been a few other members that have been regular members of Whitesnake, but Whitesnake had a number of big hits during their time in Presence, and they've all played in other groups in other places and been in other big time. And Tommy Aldridge is still playing to this day and making big waves in the music industry. So let's give a listen to Is This Love? This is a Whitesnake. Hey. Miss a note. To me, that's just wonderful. I mean, they are just such a talented group of individuals. It's unbelievable how talented they really are. Well, I've listened every day to a guy named Tommy Emmanuel. I think Tommy Emmanuel is just an amazing guitar player. For years ago, he played with his brother Phil, and they did duos together, and both of them are tremendous guitar players. Phil has passed away, of course, and Tommy still does a lot of concerts, and he always has somebody to come along and play with him. And one of the people that he had to do in one of his concerts was Billy Strings. And of course, I can't say enough about Billy Strings. It's like two acoustic guitars jamming it up like unbelievable, and both of them enjoying it so very much that Billy Strings would look at some of the things Tommy Emmanuel would do and just be smiling while he's playing guitar, and then vice versa, Tommy would be looking at Billy Strings and smiling. And so we're going to give a listen to a little bit of Billy Strings and Tommy Emmanuel in one of their concert series. Let's see if we can get that up.
doesn't love a good laugh and free car advice?
Well, it depends on the advice.
Tune into Under the Hood, and you can have both.
I'm Russ, along with Shannon and Chris, your hosts for two of the best hours you'll spend this week.
We've been the Motor Medics since 1990, and we'll tackle any question you can throw at us.
You don't have to be a car person to love Under the Hood. We've got something for everyone right here every week.
Under the Hood, Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m., right here on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Celebrate Black History Month with Grammy Museum Mississippi this February 2025. Enjoy special film screenings, free museum admission on every Sunday and Saturday, February 15th. A big thank you to our sponsors, the Nissan Foundation, Visit Mississippi, and Mississippi Arts Commission. For more details about our full programming schedule and current exhibits, visit GrammyMuseums.org.
During tax. I'm starting to learn. I feel I'm growing old. Cause yesterday's got nothing for me. Oh, pictures that I know and see. Time just paints the pages in my book of memories. Brands in my pocket, and no hand in destiny. I keep on.
One thing I've learned, I guess, over the years is that some of the booming sounds that those guitar makes are just, I mean, I get in my room once in a while and say, and close the door and make sure nobody's around and just really go crazy on my guitar, make it loud. And
man, I wish I could make sounds like that. And Axl Rose's voice is like a screaming guitar.
Yeah, and he's a strange individual, but a very good guitar.
Well, this is a generalization, but yeah. Most of your rockers of that era, he came on at the end of the big hair bands,
yeah.
And they were so huge that they almost were the band that transitioned from the big hair rock and roll to not grunge. They right. kind of jumped that.
Right.
You know, they were that one band that seemed to get it.
Yeah,
that, you know, and moved on and had great songs like November Rain and Yesterday's. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, just great songs that really, I think, bridged that little that lull you had in there from the big heavy sounds to the Nirvanas and the Pearl Jams, which were a little more depressing and down and
yeah.
good stuff.
Yeah.
But it was a very different form of music. But I always loved Guns N' Roses because they just seemed to last that. You know, they got through it. And then, you know, he had great hair plugs put in with the beads hanging off everywhere. So that tells you, you know, what you're dealing with here. But the guy's awesome. I love Axl Rose just because of the crazy a little bit.
Yeah, because definitely the crazy fits very well. And, yeah, that makes him worth watching.
It's like
for
Ozzy
sure.
Osbourne. I mean, you know, goodness
you can't help but watch.
Like, I loved the story. And I'll let you know, when he was talking about he is on stage and he was blowing it out and, you know, somebody throws a live rat on the stage and he thought it was like a rubber rat. So he picks it up and takes a bite out of it.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks it's a live rat. I mean, it's a fake rat. He thinks it's a fake rat, but it's a real one. So like literally they had to take him to the hospital to get him tetanus shot. And it was never intentional. That went with him though forever. Like, he's so crazy. He bites the head off of rats. And he didn't mean to do it. It was like, oopsie daisy.
Well, as the story's told over the years, they don't tell the part about it being a fake rat.
Yeah, that's what they don't tell. That's what I'm saying. They make you, because of the crazy, is the crazy train himself. You know, I mean, that's part of the legend. But yeah, says, he admits that didn't happen that way. It wasn't, I thought it was a rubber
well,
rat.
Well, he may have told you that, but he doesn't tell a whole lot of people.
Yeah. It was a story, I was listening to it on some kind of replay
yeah.
on YouTube, and he was sitting down with somebody telling him the kind of the layout. And it was really entertaining, and you know how he is. He's just so entertaining.
I like that, where they sit down on YouTube and have a talk about their past and,
yeah.
and some of the people that are involved. And it's just amazing. It just blows me away.
And he was basically saying, I could never live it down after that. I had to be crazy. You know, there's no way to go back.
Well, even though we don't want to, we're going to get back to working on handyman stuff. No, we want to. We want to very badly. And we need to. I've talked a lot about and this is a movement that's happening a great deal. People are now taking stained front doors, which to begin with were absolutely gorgeous, but they needed a lot of attention, and staining any kind of wood outside is just always going to deteriorate. And so it's moved on ahead to where people realize that staining a door with stain and marine spar varnish and all that and all the best things you can possibly put on it is only going to last a certain period of time before the weather starts to break it down and make it actually do some damage to the door if it's not taken care of and not refinished from time to time. So how do you paint one of those doors? Well, first off, if you decided to paint it, that probably means that it also is in not real good shape and could, at this point, it'd be a time for at least restaining. So, but instead of restaining, you're going to paint it. How would you do that? First thing that you should do is the door needs to come down and all of the hardware needs to come off it, all of the hinges, all of the pulls, everything. And then lay the door flat on some sawhorses, and of course either have cushions, some sort of cushion, so the door sits on cushions of sorts. And then what you do is clean the door just as good as you can, and then sand it very lightly. I mean, you're not sanding it to remove finish at all, just to etch it just a little bit. And as you sand it, sand the entire door, all of it. And then use a liquid sandpaper on it. Liquid sandpaper is a great product that's really just applied with a rag, and it works very well. Read the directions on your liquid sandpaper because it all reacts a little differently. What the liquid sandpaper does is it makes your door finish that's on there soften up a little bit and able to absorb the new paint that's coming on there. And then once you get that finished, it's not a bad idea to go ahead and masking tape the edges and the top and the bottom of the door, because the door may be stained on the inside, and you do kind of want that stain to go on the edges of the door if you can. So you tape it, and you're just painting just the front of the door. Now, what you do at that point, once you've applied your liquid sandpaper, is you use a high bonding primer. And a high bonding primer, which is also a stain proof primer or a stain killer primer, is going to prevent any kind of stain from bleeding through, and it's also going to be high bonding so it bonds really well to the existing finish that's on there. Once that is dried completely, then you would apply the finish of your choice, and you can go any kind of sheen that you want at that point. I think most doors will probably be looking good with like a semi-gloss or a satin finish will look really good on those. And you just use the highest quality paint you can get a hold of, and with that you'd paint your door and let the paint dry completely before you apply a second coat, and always apply at least two coats of finish paint on top of it. At that point, once your door is dried, you can put it back together again and hang it back up, and your door is finished, and it'll look really, really, you'll look at it and go, wow. And on top of that, it probably won't need finishing again in the next year or so, or 2 years or so. The paint is going to hold up so much, or be better resistant to the elements than stain would be, because stain allows sunlight to get into the wood grain and really do some damage, whereas the paint is kind of going to stop all that from happening. The paint has more UV protection in it than stain does. So then you just paint your door. Now, some people also have shutters on their house, and they decided that, hey, a good point and a good thing to do would be to paint the shutters the same color as the door. And they want to do that. Most shutters today would be like slat shutters. They're made out of 1x4 or 1x6, either rough cedar or rough cypress, or sometimes even smooth boards. And they're put together. Usually there's three in a row, and they're held in place by a slat that goes across the bottom and a slat that goes across the top. And that would be your shutter. And then they're mounted onto your house with a hinge system that actually is a movable hinge system which allows your shutter to actually shut if you need it to and actually open. And there's an S-shaped latch or lock that holds your shutter open all the time. Remove that latch so that your shutter can open, and then the shutter actually fits on those hinges very much the way a door fits on the hinges of itself, with a pin. That pin will lift up, and the shutters will come right off. At that point in time, all you really need to do to your shutters is make sure they're absolutely clean. I mean, they are already probably colored a stain or painted a color. And if they're stained, then you need to go through the same system that I just talked about for the door. But if they're painted, all you need to do is really clean them and just paint them with your finished paint. And because they are already painted, that finished paint will go on there and work very, very well and look very good. And quite simply, that would be the way you'd go about it. Now, it's easy to say, but it's probably not quite that easy to do, because taking your door down means that you're going to have an opening up there. Well, that opening that goes into your house should be sealed off with either polyurethane or something to close it up, a piece of plywood, anything at all, so that you're, you know, and then don't do it on a 110 degree day or a 32 degree day. That's now. Paint isn't going to do well in that kind of temperature anyway. So that's basically the way you do a front door, painting it, and actually painting the shutters as well, if that is your, if that's what you want to do. But masking tape works very well around the glass, so if there's any glass on your door, to prevent the paint from getting on your glass. And then you have a pretty good-looking unit that will last a very good period of time. So painting shutters and painting doors really is a good way to go. But it's important that you use a very high-quality paint. And, of course, at Seabrook, we always recommend Benjamin Mora has an Auralast paint, which is just amazing paint, an Aura paint, which works so well and will last a long time. It's one of their better products that they have, and it will stand up to the weather better than anything. And if you have a front door that's going to be getting sunshine and wind and rain on it just kind of regularly, you need to have a really high quality paint. And then also use high quality tools to apply with, brushes and rollers and whatever you may use to put it on with, and it will do a very good job and look really good. So that's how you'd go ahead and actually stain your door. Gonna go back to those columns that we were talking about. I think we had to take a break before we could actually finish up that segment. But let's just say that the foundation or the porch that they're sitting on is level and there's no problem there.
Looked to be. Yes.
Yeah. Let's just say the problem is that I'm talking about is probably in the columns themselves and they need to be replaced. At that point in time, what you would do is either with a scissors, a very good strong scissors jack or hydraulic jack, take a 2x4. Running up alongside of your column, sitting on top of the jack, and on top of the 2x4, put a plate like a 1x6, 2 foot long or a foot long piece of 1x6, so that it doesn't put an indentation in your roof line, your porch line, and then just jack it up. And I'm talking about not a lot of jacking is necessary to take weight off of these columns. Some columns are actually held in place just by gravity, just by the weight of the roof. Now, most columns should be attached and should be screwed into place. But at any rate, remove the existing column and then replace it with the proper fiberglass or composite column. And these columns are paintable, and they will last forever. They won't give you problems anymore, and you'll have replaced the columns on the front of your house to make it look very good. Now, if your house is like the one that Lance was talking about earlier, or my house, there are 6 columns in front, 3 on one side and 3 on the other. So, yeah, it's going to cost some money to replace all the columns on the front of your house. But it's worth doing, because last thing you want to do is have your columns sagging and have the roof sagging down, and it's going to put pressure on your house somehow or other. It's really not a healthy thing to do. So get those columns up and get them in as good a shape as you possibly can to do just that. It's something that I think is important, and it needs to be that way. All right. Well, let's see. We're going here. Yeah. Oh, wow. I don't want to go there. I don't think we're talking about that. No, we're not going to talk about that. We'll go to something else. Talk about recycling. Hey, do we recycle a lot around here? No. Should we? Yes.
Yeah, but they don't make it too easy either sometimes. You know, I dealt with this in Oxford and tried. You'd pay for the buckets, and they would never come pick it up at the right time. Then when they would, you know, well, it has a drop of water in the water bottle. It's like, it's rained for a week, guys. I mean, it's like, what do you want? Am I going to take off from my job to make sure that you get, you know? And I think it's a great concept.
It is a great concept.
So much you can reuse. But the other side of that is the companies or those that are doing this need to make it a little more easy, I think, for people to go, yeah, I need to be doing this.
They really do.
I mean, if you had to go shoot a cow every time you wanted a steak, you probably wouldn't eat a lot of steaks. So.
Yeah, you're correct. Here in this state and maybe throughout the South, recycling isn't as big as it should be. And they do offer those bins in some places, which in the city I live in, they don't recycle at all.
And I had to pay for them.
Yeah. And they don't recycle a lot in a lot of places. We'll pick this up when we come back from a short break. You're listening to Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy Slowick here at the Build Mississippi Studios. Be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Billy Kinder, host of Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Hear the show Saturdays at 1, right here on Super Talk Mississippi. Turkeys, whitetail, Grenada Lake crappie, or Gulfport redfish. We enjoy it all, especially when you're in camp with us on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner, weekdays starting at 2 p.m. here on Super Talk Mississippi, and now on Amazon Alexa devices.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
I feel more
sounds like they don't want anything material.
Transvision Vamp, what a band that nobody knows anything about.
What's their name?
Well, they go by Transvision, but Transvision Vamp, and her name, Wendy James,
yeah. And
Nick Christian Sayer, they're really a great band from that era of the 80s, formed in 86. And I mean, nobody knows anything about them. I just stumbled upon them. And once you start following, like on YouTube, and start reading the comments, which I love, you get so much information. I mean, it really is a good little group to go look into.
I was talking to my son the other day, and we were talking about music, and we were talking about all the groups that are really, really, really good and never have broken through as to far as having a hit record or being a major name is concerned, and yet they're still making a very handsome living on the road doing festivals and doing things.
This is an English pop band, you know, and they just, a lot of those, you know, I kind of have an affinity for some of that 80s English pop. And,
sure.
But yeah, it's just one of those that, you know, did great, made a lot of money at it, but you just never really heard much of them.
That's, well, I don't want to get into music again, but that's just the same way we did music back in the day. We were, many times we were called by other people, oh, you guys are selling out doing copy music, but, you know, we were making more money than most groups around. And we did pretty well on the road for 10 years.
Money's important. It buys stuff.
So I don't mind selling out for a few bucks.
No, why not?
It worked for me. And we did originals, too. We did, but not very many. All right, back to recycling. I guess there's so many products that are grown or manufactured that can be recycled and reused. And the problem is the system itself. We don't have a proper system for recycling. And as time goes on and as the earth gets older, we're going to realize that the recycling is becoming one of the more important things that we can do. In other words, any metal can be recycled practically, and plastic can certainly be recycled into many different type things, depending on the type of plastic it is, and it's certainly a lot better than filling up our oceans with or burying our plastic underground where it won't decay for years and years and years and years and years, if at all. But recycling, to me, is very important, and it needs to be something that not only the communities and the state needs to get involved with and realize that it really does dictate how well our future is going to be if we stop using new products all the time and start using some recycled products. And some of them are pretty darn good. Most recycled products are pretty good. Well, I'm talking about practically anything here. So recycle as often as we can. And as a community, yeah, we might get to that. And I know it has a lot to do with the, you know, it's costly because it means another truck's going to be having to come around and pick up the recycling stuff. But it's worth it. We need to recycle as much as we can because that will definitely get us along into the world we need to be in. Recycle as often as we can. All right. Talk a little bit about when's the last time you rolled out your stove or your refrigerator and seen the floor below it or the dirt behind it. Did you do that often enough? I hope you do, because believe me, you can get some dust mites and dirt and food and all sorts of things behind your refrigerator, and particularly down the sides of your stove, and it can really get messy back there. So you should do it at least twice a year, is roll out your stove and roll out your refrigerator. But be careful when you're rolling out your refrigerator, because also attached to it, it generally, not always, but generally is an ice maker line, which can easily be pulled out if it's pulled too hard. So make sure it's not tangled in anything and pull it out, and then clean behind the stove and behind the refrigerator as often as you can. And then put it back. You'll be happy you did. And it makes the whole place look a little nicer. All right, Build Mississippi. What are they all about? Well, Build Mississippi is about making sure that this state is prepared with enough people to do the work in the commercial industry and in the residential industry as much as it needs to be done. And we have a shortage today of available workers, because for years and years and years we preached to all of our children, you will be successful if you just go to a four-year college and beyond and get your degree. But we've come to realize that not everybody is going to do that, and those who didn't do that, some of them fell by the wayside and really didn't have much of a life to begin with. But those who are trained right after high school or even during high school in a particular industry how to work on an electrical pole or how to work on big machinery or how to weld. That's what Build Mississippi is all about. They have training facilities throughout the state. There's one right there in Pearl, and it's a huge facility. And they talk about a quick relative turnaround and a very low cost in getting that education to get learning how to use a particular part, learning how to weld, for instance. They have a machine over there that is it's like you can weld and not get burned. It shows you how to do that exactly, and it's all the machinery over there is like that. They have, you can drive a cement truck from a simulator, and they're just a great organization, Build Mississippi. And Brent's going to be here. Brent Bean, he is the president of Build Mississippi, and he'll be with us to talk a little more about Build Mississippi. I think in 2 weeks, is that about right? If I can remember, I've written it home on my calendar date, but I don't know. I just know they're a great organization and proud to have them as sponsors of this program. They do such a great job in making sure that we are everything we need to be, and we have the people that can really take care of business in this state. Hey, Rebel Hardware Store is one of the better hardware stores in the sound of my voice. If you haven't been to a Rebel Hardware Store lately, you're missing out. Everything I've talked about today, whether it's mounting a grab bar in a fiberglass or a recycling bin, they have all the products that you'll ever need. What would you do with that recycling bin? I don't know.
Yeah, well, we had a text on the line this week. One of our listeners in one of the other shows said, I went to Ace Hardware today and got everything I needed and saved about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens. You walk in the door and they know what you they know where it is when you ask them what you need.
And they're going to help you.
They're
going to
walk you right there to it.
And stay with you. They won't say, yeah, it's down that aisle down there. Go see.
Everybody's busy these days, yeah. Trust me. And yeah, that makes a huge difference in your day. But I was greatly appreciative that someone just shouted it out on, like, yeah, they're the best for the reasons.
No doubt they're the best. And there's many, many Rebel Hardware stores on the sound of my voice here in Central Mississippi. They do a great job, and they're a great organization. You go see my friends at Rebel Ace Hardware. And remember, their store in Pearl, right next door to their store in Pearl, is their power equipment center, which is amazing. They have zero turn mowers and all the things you'll ever need to take care of your lawn. All right, thank you, Rebel. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you listening to the Handyman Show here on Saturdays from 10 to 12 each and every Saturday we do it. And we just thank you for that. And my name is Buddy at the Build Mississippi Studios. And you take care and have a great day at Super Talk Buddy, saying bye bye. See you next week.
Boston to get some clam chowder. Bye-bye.
Super Talk. Nobody keeps Mississippi informed like we do. With 12 stations covering all 82 counties. If it happens in your state, we're on top of it. The news, the weather, the sports, and the talk that's important to you.
The issues that matter to you, your family, and your bank account.
It's all right here. And when you're away from home, depend on the SuperTalk app and supertalk.fm to stay in the know. We're proud to serve our fellow Mississippians. SuperTalk Mississippi. Mississippi news doesn't sleep, and neither do we. At supertalk.fm, you get news from all over the state. From stories to keep you safe, to legislation that could affect your bank account, to weather reports to help you better plan your weekend. Plus, find in-depth interviews with the newsmakers in the SuperTalk podcast archives. And everything Mississippi sports. Your Mississippi news. All the time. On air and online. At supertalk.fm.
Pure Air Consultants has always been your go-to for reliable and affordable heating and cooling systems, and now we're offering an additional product to avoid the 25 to 30% increase that everyone is talking about. With Day and Night, a Carrier family product, your professionals at Pure Air Consultants can install a reliable heating and cooling system with a 10-year system warranty. Pure Air Consultants and Day and Night, providing ultimate comfort for your home for an affordable price. Call us today for your free quote, 601-939-7420. That's 601-939-7420, or find us online at mypureairconsultants.com.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.